Is there a story from the lap of Uncle Norv involving the combine that that you can share just right out of the gate?
There are really a lot of stories, but
sweet.
I can't, we got plenty
of time.
Can't share any of them.
We're not talking about
there's no way. No, I just through the years seeing the guys, probably the one that that I tell people and they find it hard to believe, but we found Gus Frot here at the Combine, and we drafted him in the seventh round at Washington, and obviously took Heath Shuler in the first pick, and Gus ends up being a better player.
Yeah.
But he threw all the running back and tight end drills, and he was kind of the guy that, you know, was out there for 3 days running. I kept watching him. I said, who is this guy? You know, and then we went back and watched all his college tape, and he was a good player.
You know? Norv, where does the actual work on the field at the Combine stack up compared to, like, the film you'll watch from the week of Senior Bowl practice, the pro days, the individual meetings you'll have here? Where do the actual drills stack up when you're analyzing players?
You know, I'll get this. You start talking about this, and it gets a little boring because it's all the same. It's all the same story. It's if it works, you know, it's a piece of the puzzle. It's one piece of the puzzle. And the one thing that I think people will appreciate more about us now is when we say you still got to watch how a guy plays.
Yeah.
And that's the whole Teddy Bridgewater scenario. All these guys wanted to evaluate everything other than how he played, and what you do is evaluate how a guy plays. That's the most important part. I think this gives you some insight to the guy's physical skills, how fast, you know, how much he benches, you know, you get the physical, you get to some interviews, but they're probably the best thing. The most important thing they get out of this is the medical, where you find out, you know, how healthy a guy is, how many surgeries, where he is physically in terms of being able to go play in the NFL.
Churchy?
Well, you know, in 1987, I think the medical situation was a lot different. I mean, back then, an ACL was a career ender. You know, now an ACL is like a speed bump. You know, he'll be back next year. He'll be back stronger and better. And
thank goodness, because it was hard back then. You know, I mean, it was harder to recover from injuries. The period of time it took to get back to full speed was much longer. That's one thing. These players have the benefit not only of the medical, but all the training, diet, everything is so much more sophisticated than it was 25 years ago.
It was. It just seems like there's not a medical condition, you know, at least any kind of remotely common one anymore, Norv, that's sort of a career ender where you go, well, this guy is never going to be able to play in the NFL.
No, there's not. I agree. I 100% agree with you. One isolated incident guys recover from. I think what you find here is the guys that have chronic things and the guys that have had multiple injuries, that then you start getting a little nervous.
Do you believe is there such a thing as an injury-prone player, or is it just a matter of sort of having bad luck?
I think you try to – there's a fine line.
Yeah.
And some guys have had bad luck, and you say, hey, you know, they're going to go through a stretch and never have an injury. We coached Anthony Munoz at USC a long time ago, and he had a season-ending knee surgery. He had two different times. He had major injuries, and I think, you know, he went through most of his career with the Bengals injury-free. So,
So
his case, it was bad luck. But there are some guys that just, you know, get their bodies in bad positions and they're not athletic enough to avoid injuries, and those are the guys that end up being injury-prone.
I'm glad you brought up Teddy Bridgewater, because I was going to ask you about him in any way, because at this time last year, Teddy Bridgewater was in the conversation for the first player to be selected in the whole draft. And then things didn't go, you know, apparently things didn't go well enough for him, and he fell all the way to the last pick, and where our team was fortunate enough to get him. And it almost makes you wonder if this hasn't become a case study for other teams about not putting too much focus on what happens in February and March with these players and spending a lot more time with the film.
Well, I think the best evaluators and the best drafters have always had a good balance in terms of what how much you weigh all these different things. And I think the best evaluators always go on how a guy plays, and then you try to find him, that player playing against the best player he played against, or the best three or four players he played against. You know, the quarterback position is just so unique, because you really are taking one player, and you're hoping that guy, if you're taking a guy in the first round, you're hoping that guy is your quarterback for 10 years, where if you're drafting a tackle, you're drafting a defensive lineman, you're drafting a corner, you know, you're drafting multiple players at those positions, and, you know, you're you can find a way to play him. If a guy's not good enough to tackle, he goes to guard, he goes to right tackle, you know, those type of things.
Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, joins this radio show in about 90 minutes. When we return with Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner, we will discuss something Rick said earlier when he addressed the assembled media. Earlier, he met with the media and said, from something I saw on Twitter, paraphrasing, he expects Adrian Peterson to be back with the Vikings next year. Do you is expect the right word, Norv? Do you expect, if reinstated, Adrian Peterson to return?
Well, if that's what Rick said, I mean, he's privy to a lot more of that inside information than I am. You get me excited. You start talking about it. I think, you know, everyone, our staff, the players, everyone involved with the organization would be thrilled Adrian to be back.
Tell me a little bit, Norv, given your significant perspective here, the level of adversity, especially that the offense had last year, can you give me a sense of scale on how bad it was? And, you know, because we bring it up sometimes, and it sounds a little bit from us like it might be excuse-making, and, you know, you don't want to go there. But, you know, between the injuries to Rudolph, all the offensive linemen, not having Adrian all for 15 of 16 games, you lose your starting quarterback. You know, it felt like this was an awful lot of adversity. Can you give some perspective?
Yeah, and I'm right where you're at. If you start talking about it too much, then people, the next thing you do is read in the paper the next morning that you're making excuses.
Right.
You know, we've all been trained, you know, to next man up, hey, here we go, let's go. But when you're going through it, you know, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make it work. But I think there was such a change in our preseason was good on offense. The opening game was outstanding,
yeah,
obviously. And then it's very evident when you go back and look at it, we went through a rough stage in there, going through all the changes you're talking about. And some of it is loss of players. Some of it is getting new guys in there to play better. Some of it is getting guys who were playing get back to playing to their level. The exciting thing to me is over the last 6 weeks, I think people got a glimpse of what we want to be offensively. And, you know, we had very good production. We had very good production at the quarterback position. We played against some good defensive football teams and performed at a high level. The best thing we did as an offensive football team is we protected the football. Mm. You know, when you only lose two fumbles, one was in the kicking game, one was late in the Green Bay game, and then, you know, with a young quarterback, you limit the number of interceptions, certainly at the second half of the season. Those are things to build on.
Was the Miami game sort of the high water mark for the season for the offense? Did you feel?
No, I never do that because I've been in fantasy football has changed the way people look at games, and really there's three phases. And your role as a team, as an offensive football team, is to play the game that's there. And people get caught up in yards and rushing yards and passing yards, and they were this percentage in on third down, they were this percentage in the red zone. As an offensive group, your job is to go do what you have to do to help your team win the game. And if it's win a game 17-13 or score 35 points like Miami, it's play the game that's there and do all the things you can to help your team win. So I'm not a stat guy, and I never have been. And some of the best teams I've been on, you know, offensively, statistically, you know, you're not bad, but you're in the you know, high tens or, you know, certain areas you're stronger than others depending on your personnel. So I think you just got to play situational football, and you got to do a great job of protecting the ball. And, you know, you can win a game and have 310 yards, and you can lose a game and have 500 yards.
Yeah.
I like winning the game with 310 myself.
Norv, have you taken ownership in Teddy Bridgewater in a way that maybe is unique during your career? And I bring it up that way because, you know, there are just some things that popped up during his run with the Vikings. For instance, he had the pro day that the majority of people thought was terrible. You didn't. You drafted him. You defended him. And then he got thrust into to the New Orleans game. You had that Thursday press conference where, out of nowhere, you just talked about him for like 3 to 4 minutes straight after some members of the national media had kind of second-guessed what Teddy was doing or the possibility of who he could be. It seems like you've taken a deeply rooted, prideful ownership in guiding this quarterback to where he needs to get.
Well, I think it's part of the process now, and the way, you know, things are portrayed, there's so many more different people covering, and there's so many things where one sentence ends up being a national story. I think you want to create an environment for a player to be successful, and we try to do that with all our guys. You know how I feel about Teddy, and I think Scott Turner did a great job coaching him this year, and I think those two guys have a relationship that's really going to help Teddy grow, because you need that guy there with you. And people think you get it from a veteran quarterback. You don't. You get it from a coach. You get it from a relationship that is ongoing and building. But I think you want to give a guy a peace of mind. You want to give them an opportunity to have a good environment, and we need to continue to do that not only with Teddy, with all our players. You talk about Adrian, if he gets back, Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm a big supporter of Cordarrelle, and I want to see him do well. So we have to find a way to create that environment for him, so he is put in the best position to be successful.
Was it a tough love season for Cordarrelle Patterson?
It was a hard season, and he, of all the guys, you talk about who was affected, who wasn't. He was probably affected by the loss of Adrian more than anyone, because he became, particularly after the way he played in that St. Louis game, he became a kind of a marked guy. And
sure,
people said, hey, we're not going to let him run the reverses. We're not going to let him get those handoffs. We're not going to, you know, we're going to put our best corner on him. And that's an adjustment. And it was, it's a process. And I've been with guys that jump out of the gate and play great as young guys. I've been with guys that take two or three years to get to where, you feel that they're really where you want to be. I mean, I tell people, when I went to Dallas, Michael Irvin had already played two or three years, and he had not had a big season yet. And there was a lot of people there that, you know, said they should trade him, said he wasn't going to be the guy they hoped he was going to be, and he turned out pretty good. So I think you do. Everyone's anxious and everyone is impatient. Well, with some guys, you have to have a little more patience than others.
Norv, we obviously are very early in the process with the NFL draft, 2.5 months away. There was the week of Senior Bowl practices. Here we are at the Combine. You have the meetings. You have the pro days, the private workouts, and all of that. So we don't expect you to have the end-all answer on any of these players at this stage, but just from an overall depth standpoint, do you like the wide receivers in this draft? I mean, like last year, you could argue was one of the deepest wide receiver drafts in the history of the NFL. Do you look at this year's crop of wide receivers like last year? Do you think it's top heavy? How do you look at it?
Well, personally, I think there's a real good group of receivers at the top, and there's some explosive guys. But every year, and this is pretty consistent, every year in the fifth, sixth round, in that area, someone jumps out as a receiver that everyone says, well, God, where'd they find him? Arizona, the receiver in Arizona, the receiver in Pittsburgh, getting into these guys' names. Guy who plays here at Indy, Hilton was a
fourth-round pick. Florida International.
So I think you have dreams of getting a guy at 11, and there's a lot of needs that your team has. So I think you keep working and look at every guy you can. And George Stewart, our receiver coach, I was in yesterday. He's looking at receivers and looking at all the guys that are available, because you can find a guy. We found Charles Johnson. You know, he was a seventh-round pick, and he's a guy that, you know, obviously would be drafted a lot higher, knowing what we know now.
Right.
So those guys are there in the receiver position, and I think you can do some damage there if you do a good job.
Do you think, Paul talked to Charles Johnson, was it yesterday or the day before?
2 days ago, had him in studio. Arms bigger, working on his upper body, and working out frequently.
What do you like to see from players in the off season? You don't see them. Some go home. Some stay in town. What do you like to see from your guys?
Well, like I said earlier, the training and the mentality about the training and the science about the training is so much better. There aren't many guys that don't work out year round.
Yeah,
there aren't many. And I think it's hard to work on football without your coaches there. I think if you're working on your body, your conditioning, your strength, the things you're talking about, and we get them on April 20th, and we get a chance to go for almost 3 months and work football. I think there's enough time for us to do that. Everyone talks about Teddy and the receivers are going to get together and be throwing. You know, it's like when I go to the driving range and I work on my swing, and I swing 100 times bad, then I haven't helped myself get better. Well, if they're going out and they're working on things that don't apply to what we're doing,
sure,
it's good camaraderie. It's good team building type things. But the real work in terms of them getting better as football players is going to start on April 20th when they come back and start working on the things we do.
How do you tie free agency and the draft into the current situation with Matt Khalil? You know, he was inconsistent last year. I think that's a fair way to put it. And the team has a decision not only on him or Harrison Smith to be made pretty soon here to pick up that fifth-year option, which I think is $10 million and change for Matt. How do you handle that with the offseason?
Did you get confused? I'm not Rick Stillman.
I'll ask Rick later.
You can ask that way there, Rick.
Yeah, and I will.
Here's the way I've always approached it, always will. There's three ways you're going to get better. Number one is the guys you have, and that's the biggest group of guys.
Yeah.
And the guys you have to be working to get better. We're talking about it. They need to, you know, Matt needs to be working on the things he needs to do, get stronger, get healthier, all those things. He needs to have a great offseason when he comes in. But we can say that about all the guys on our roster. That's one way you get better, and that's the most important. Mm-hmm. Those guys have to get better, or you're not going to grow. Then you do have free agency. But let's be realistic. How many players does a team sign in free agency that make a difference? Two or three?
Yeah.
And then you have your draft. And part of your draft is going to contribute early, and part of your draft, as we know, is going to take a little time. So the biggest way you get better is the team you have and making sure they're growing as players. And we're really young, so our guys should get a lot better. If we can add a free agent, you know, obviously getting a guy in the offensive line, getting depth, getting a starter, that all that is would be awesome. If Adrian came back, you know, I can go spend a little more time in San Diego and relax a little bit.
When you talk about improving your own guys, give me one player on offense that you felt like improved the most over the course of the season, and maybe I should almost throw Teddy out of that question because it seems a little obvious that the answer is probably Teddy, but was there one player that you thought did, you know, advanced the most and got I guess the most improved over the course of the year?
Yeah, I would say
Jarius Wright, maybe.
Well, that's a good one, Charles Johnson. Jarius Wright,
yeah,
is a good one, and players always look at it. Well, you finally started using me, and I always tell them, yeah, you start doing the things we should do, so we start using you. That's a certain
the chicken,
you
know, and egg.
Yeah, that's going to go on forever and ever and ever. But I think we had a lot of guys really improve as they understood what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
The thing that with Teddy that was to me so impressive, and Paul and I've talked about it numerous times. We did more with a young quarterback than I've ever done with a young quarterback. We were no huddle. We were multiple formations. We were multiple personnel groups. You know, we adjusted our offense each week based on who we were playing to give us the best chance. And he handled it extremely well. And I'm looking forward to an off season where we can really do that. And that's how we're going to grow, the more diversified we become. And, you know, he's capable of handling anything we want him to do.
Combine 28 for Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner on the 9 to noon show from the Indianapolis Scouting Combine. Thanks to Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Eye Care. A couple of quickies to close.
All right, so let's, you know, just advancing the same discussion we just had on Teddy, what's next for Teddy? So, you know, we saw over the rookie season, and he got a lot better from when he started to when he ended. What would you like to see him progress at in year two?
Well, the biggest thing that you have to do at that position, and you do it when a guy's in his 10th year, when they come back, you start at square one again, and you start with the mechanics, the foundation, mm-hmm, the basics, and he can improve in those areas. He can little things he can do better. He did a lot better as we went through the year. You know, there's obviously going to be new routes, new things that we work on to grow as a group. But the way the quarterback really gets better is keep adding good players around him. I mean, to me, when we were in Dallas with Troy, everyone talking about, well, he looks so much more comfortable. He looks so much better. And you know, every time we added a new player and got better in the offensive line and, you know, get a new receiver, whatever, they continue to have more production. So that's the opposite of it, I'll tell you, with Phillip Rivers, when we let Vincent Jackson go and we let Darren Sproles go and we lost our left tackle, Marcus McNeil.
All great players.
He had more inconsistencies than when we had all those guys there. So getting the great supporting cast around them is obviously the biggest thing we can do for Teddy.
Have you ever coached in the Hall of Fame game?
I have.
And when was that? And what's the benefit of that extra preseason game?
If any.
It was. I don't want to have a Brian Williams moment here and misspeak, but I think it was 1980.
You came under fire at your helicopter in Canton.
We sacked Joe Namath 8 times. I'll never forget it.
I think it was 1987. We played the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Hall of Fame, the whole environment is so much bigger now than it was then. But we had a receiver named Aaron Cox who was a first-round draft pick from Arizona State. And I remember standing on the sideline talking to him, and he was like we were playing this Super Bowl. He was so nervous. I turned to him. I said, Aaron, it's preseason. He goes, I've been dreaming about this my entire life.
Wow.
You know, and that tells you how these young guys are affected by being part of the NFL. And you think it's, you know, the guys are trying to be cool and all that, but he was thrilled to be in that game, and it's an exciting game, and I'm glad we're in it because I think every exposure our young players, our young team can have, it will help them.
North Turner, offensive coordinator for the Vikings, we appreciate you joining us, and enjoy your stay in Indianapolis. We'll stay in touch this offseason, all right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Tommy West. We appreciate it. Tom West, Lewiston, Minnesota. Don't leave home without him, assisting us with facilitating the Norv Turner interview at 9:50.